Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, baby, make it hot. Buy the cock till you hit the spot. Come on, baby, make it hot.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
Wow.
And welcome. Yeah.
That was
rocking
louder
it
than usual, wasn't it?
It didn't. It sounded like it was coming through a little squeaky tonight, yeah.
It was
distortion.
Interesting.
Well, it's Eco Week. All things are subject to being mutated beyond recognition. Welcome to Foo Bar Wednesday.
That's right.
Our guest is flat on her back with an ice pack over her eyes somewhere out there in Michigan. So we're going to have a little pinch hitter here in a couple of minutes. Also an eco, why not?
Yep,
all eco,
yep.
All eco all the time here on the Emotionally Disturbed Network. My God. But, you know, I'm going to try and take, you know, Heath Ledger, is his body's not even cold yet, but I'm going to try and start the show on a little upbeat note, so I'm going to just wheel out a little... little music here for us here, just see how this fits.
Right.
We just up in here.
Top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love put me at the top of the world.
Now you might ask why I'm there.
Yeah.
And that would be answered right here. Music here. This little scene on Sunday night is still echoing through my vertebrae. So I'll just pop it in. Hang on. Away we go.
All right, here goes Times again from 47 yards to kick the Giants to the Super Bowl. Snap is good. Kick on its way. End over end. Does it have the distance? It is
good!
Lawrence Tynes has kicked the Giants to the Super Bowl after missing at the end of regulation, and Tynes runs into the tunnel to outright, and the New York Giants are going to Super Bowl 42 in overtime. They beat the Packers 23-20.
Wow.
There you go.
Yep. That
and
was something.
There's the music.
Oh, man.
So anyway, yeah, I was quite the convergence of the elements there. And we did blog about this, if you are new to the show, on blogsoma.net. On Monday and Fridays, we do something called Naked Soma Video. And I broke down that game and the other game between the Patriots and the Chargers according to the domains of the quarterbacks that were competing. So
that was really good. You people should get there immediately and bookmark that.
And I'm going to be doing it for the Super Bowl next week on Monday. With the coaches that will be involved and the quarterbacks, they are leading out onto the field. So matching that up, because we have a little interesting pairing there between we have Tom Coughlin, the Onto, and Eli Manning, the Sports Illustrated cover boy, XO. And
mm-hmm.
then the other side, we have an XO coaching a Philo. So with Mr. Belichick and Mr. Brady with the boot.
Right.
Mr. Brady with the boot, the flower. What did they call him the other day? He's a flower boy, and he's a girly man. the Post is the best.
Aren't they sweet?
The only other part of the country, the New York Post, is the cartoon newspaper of all time, and they show Tom Brady limping along with his flowers for Giselle Bundchen, and they call him who's afraid of Tom Brady now? Girly man limps home.
Jeez.
Perfect. You know, and then like about 6-7 hours later, Heath Ledger takes a dirt nap. We don't know why. Apparently there was some drugs involved, and one of the, Olsen sisters or something? Right?
No,
Ashley,
I didn't hear about that.
You didn't hear about Heath Ledger?
No, that I knew about. I don't know anything about those two dopey sisters.
Yeah, the twins. He was into the twins.
There
was somebody else a while ago that was into the twins. I forget
who
it was.
Sure, there were a lot of people into the twins.
No, but I mean the celebrity that was into them. I forget who it was.
Hmm.
They're getting around, though, because they're in their early 20s now. They're lined up on the Britney conveyor belt to hell.
Right.
you know, they're popular between 17 and 20. They're between 20 and 24, 25. They go off the cliff.
Yeah, they have to be ridiculous to get in the news.
Well, of course, Brittany was in court today, by the way. I haven't made my daily trip over to TMZ to see what happened to that, so let's do that now. Number is on Eco Wednesday here is 646-478-4847. If you're emotionally disturbed and have had an ability to vent today, call us. We can handle it. So,
oh, boy.
That's right. Yeah, I'll give you that.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
That's right. So, let me venture over and see what's up with...
I have a listener typing to me saying, me, I'm disturbed.
Oh, really? Well, you don't get any credit for being disturbed, whoever you are. We want an award?
Yeah, we should all have an award for that.
All right, I got to get over to TMZ. The other thing that made the news in on my radar screen today is Dana Jacobson. From ESPN, another eco in trouble.
Oh boy!
Now, talk about you take a load of tamale. They invite her to a roast for the two dopes in the morning, the Mike and Mike morning show, Philo Anto pairing, by the way. And she shows up at this really just like D-list type of thing, and she's this. I guess in the mindset that no one's ever going to see or hear this, right? It's going in the black hole. So she shows up swilling vodka from a bottle like Jim Morrison. And she's a Michigan grad, so she starts attacking Notre Dame. So she gets and she goes on there, she goes, and she swills from the vodka. She goes, F touchdown Jesus, F Notre Dame, F Jesus.
Oh, nice.
That's it. Suspended for a week. You're out of there, you go. Wait a minute, we were just joking. I mean, she's up there drunk out of her mind. 37 years old, single, Dana Jacobson. Now,
do they ever learn?
Ecos never learn. That's our problem.
Yeah. That's right. Almost forgot. Somebody told me that once, but I didn't learn it.
It's basically error and error. There are no trials. It's just error and bigger error. So let's see. Here we are. Five different drugs found in Heath's apartment. Apparently he was really going for the clouds here. We had Valium, Ativan, anti-anxiety medication, a little Lunesta, sleeping med, and a sedative, Restorol. For people who use that for debilitating insomnia. That's an oxymoron. I don't know what he's talking about. All prescribed to Mr. Ledger. So I don't know if he got them from five different doctors or just one bad one, but when you combine Valium, Ativan, Xanax, Lunesta, and Restorol.
Yeah, that's just insane. No way
would
a doctor be that stupid.
Hello,
well,
clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, who says no to these people? You know, I don't have enough Xanax. Let me pop some Valium. Oh, that's not getting me there. How about some Ativan? Nope, I need some Lunesta for some sleeping medication and to sedate everything, some Restorol so I can't breathe for some debilitating insomnia. Brittany's bipolar treatment plan. It's underway. Oh, my God. They now officially diagnosed her as bipolar.
Took them this long, huh?
Yeah. She's bisexual. I don't know about bipolar, but she's receptive to the idea, and 17 of her personalities agreed. Let's see. Now she's going to go into treatment. One abstained, courteously. Commissioner Gordon. How about that? The guy that's deciding this stuff, his name is Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon.
Gotham City? Has dispatched Batgirl to her cave. You can't make it up. I just can't stand it. Oh, crap. Oh, my God. And she's wearing these Yoko Ono Batgirl glasses all over the place. You seen these things?
I did see that, yes.
It is fascinating. She's looking like a cross between Lindsay Lohan and Goggles to Paisano, I think. She's going for that.
That's a look.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, you can't make it up. Oh, boy. So Brittany on the West Coast, Heath Ledger on the East Coast with the five drugs, Dana Jacobson in Atlantic City, cursing out the Catholics. It's America! And we didn't even get the Hillary and the Osama having a throwdown.
Do we have to?
But like I said, who cares? Because there's this.
All right, here goes Tynes again from 47 yards to kick the Giants to the Super Bowl. Snap is good. Kick on its way. End over end. Does it have the distance? It is
good!
Yeah! Yes! Tynes has kicked the Giants to the Super Bowl.
After
missing at the end of regulation, and Tynes runs into the tunnel two outright, and the New York Giants are going to Super Bowl 42 in overtime. They beat the Packers 23-20.
You see, it's not about losing or winning the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
It's just winning that game. I'm loving that the Carpenters feed into this now.
Yeah, oh boy.
There you go, a little follow music.
I think our guest is...
He's settling in? Oh, he shows up now. And he's really hanging in there.
So,
all right, so... Wait a minute. I got to get the switchboard up here so I can see what I'm doing.
All right,
well, pop him in so he can pronounce his name for us. Pinch hitting Manny Mota.
All right,
for Starfire.
Well, let me get the diving horn here.
Oh, right, ready? Yeah. Start.
Here we go.
All right, joining us from Pagan Space, somewhere out there in Michigan, pinch hitting for Starfire. Ooh, I don't know if she has a last name. Is this just goes by Starfire? That's the deal?
No, just a one name, that's all.
Okay. And how do we pronounce your name? Because I'll fake it. It looks like Heroes, but is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, very good. There you go.
Heroes,
right.
Okay.
Good job.
Circle gets the square. All right, well, welcome to whatever this thing is, Naked Soma. So you're coming in from and we talk a lot about a lot of these social networks that have sort of emerged in the last, steadily the last two or three years. There's more and more of them. It used to just be there was just Yahoo, and then there was Google, and then, you know, all the search engines. Now the social networks have sort of spawned. So you got lots of different ways of connecting to people. It used to just be MySpace, and then it became all the other things. So you guys launched this when, last year?
Yes, actually in October.
Okay, so it's been up for a couple of months. And your goal is to connect a whole kind of spectrum of people that are out there. Why don't we just clear the air of if you're going to define who's going to show up on Pagan Space? What kind of person?
Pretty much non-traditional type religious and belief systems people. You know, everywhere you go, you have all the mainstream religions kind of choking everybody else out. And a lot of people that, you know, Starfire and I have talked to through the years, they feel a little bit uncomfortable voicing their beliefs or opinions on things. So that's really what the origins of Pagan Space was all about. It was to give a place for these people to come in and not have to worry about what they believe, what they say, pictures they want to put up, or, you know, how they felt about their lifestyle.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
so basically you're there as sort of the counter-programming to some of the PC stuff that goes on MySpace. In the age of the Internet Predator and all the other stuff that goes on in the mainstream, this is a community that kind of knows its chops. I mean, we've done it on our side. We call it woo. There's the moo, which is sort of the conventional wisdom. The moos are just riding with the herd. And then there's the woo. And then, like, a couple years ago now, I guess it was, what was it, back in 2006 already?
I think so, yeah.
God, we're old. we did something called the woo-woo-palooza. And we just got tired of figuring out how to kind of categorize it. We said, it's all the weird stuff that works. You know, and we had a little weekend over there. We had people talk about their different woo-ness, and
right. And we have shirts to prove it.
Yeah. Now here's the riddle that you have to answer there, Eros.
Oh.
Is that just like there's no there and a lot of stuff? We found that the woo community was sort of an oxymoron because when you put them all in one room, they all start shooting at each other like it's the last sandwich in Cairo.
Like a
nobody wants to talk
Sam.
To anybody.
Yeah. Well, it is. And unfortunately, it becomes a case of so many people being on such a defensive for so long. In my opinion, what I see is it's kind of an unintentional lashing, I guess you could call it. You know, my belief isn't as good as your belief, so I'm going to throw something back at you here. But it's funny to watch these people interact for even a short amount of time, and you see they find a common ground very quickly. And that's what the really beautiful thing is about Pagan Space. You start to see everybody kind of level out and say, hey, you know, this is really cool. We like being up here.
Good, because I just, my sort of take on it, you know, being around for, you know, 20-odd years in this world is that from the outside looking in, it's exotic. It's like that weird, you know, flavor of Baskin-Robbins that you just got to try, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I'll try the garbage can, you know, okay, fine, you know. But it's not like something that people go back to. They do it as, it's almost like the moose will slum. You get a couple of yoga moms together, they get a couple of sea breezes in them, they go, hey, that's good, you know, woo class, you know. And it's like, for them, it's like a big adventure. But for the people that live and breathe this stuff every day, you know, that wake up and, like, know what phase the moon's in and know all the other weird stuff we know that we can't let go of, we're sort of, in a way, in a fishbowl. We don't even know we're wet anymore, because it's like when we go out into the world, we just assume everybody else either needs to know this stuff or does know this stuff. And, in fact, most of them don't know and don't care. And so that's why a site like yours would say, you know what, well, we're going to create a little Whoville for all of us here.
Well, and the beautiful thing about it is, you know, after watching this even for a few months and the way and the progression that everything has taken so far, at least we weren't the Baskin and Robbins flavor that made somebody spit it out on the floor and put it into a nice package. So apparently the package was nice and, you know, it tastes even better. So
that's right. It not only looks nice, but it actually functions properly, which is a nice thing.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, I haven't had one glitch the whole time I've been using it.
Knock on wood now. We all know computers and programs and everything else.
There you go.
Yeah, let's take a detour over there, because unlike most people that, you know this stuff, you have a kind of a technophile kind of side to you, programming side to you. I guess, you know, so does Starfire, in fact. That's some of her background.
Yes.
So the combination of having all this sort of, you know, sort of traveling mythology going around your head and having all these skills that, you know, the average straight-laced, you know, blue tie, white shirt, get on the train at 9 kind of guy has. I mean, does that make you sort of a rare in your own, in both worlds, or do you see that the synergy between the two being, you know, sort of a unique selling point for you guys at Pagan Space? Because you can talk to both sides of the coin, so to speak.
Well, exactly, and there's definitely a synergy involved. I mean, you know, it all really stems. Unfortunately, it's like the old adage. You know, everybody likes to ask people who have gone from nothing to, you know, success or businesses or anything of the sort, and they always ask, well, you know, the most important thing is, how did you get there? And everybody always says, you know, I took something that I really had an interest in, that I really liked, and I involved myself in, and, you know, it just all went from there. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, Starfire and myself didn't set out, you know, for paganspace.net or anything that we do. We didn't wake up one day and say, well, I don't like these college courses on the list, I'm going to go ahead and shoot for this one. You know, we found something that we really enjoyed. We found something that made us feel complete, and that really spurred the emotional and creative sides of us and ran with it. And it literally, I mean, as common as it may sound, it was something that our hearts were really into, and that's mm-hmm. why it appears the way it appears.
Mm-hmm. And just to give us kind of a preamble to it, a year ago, 2 years ago, whenever this idea was sitting on the kitchen table on the napkins there, you know, who started the conversation first? Was it something where you guys were just kind of working along the same lines and said, hey, we should really create a social network for all these people so they can all kind of talk to each other? Or is it something that was like already in the larval stage and you just kind of sewed everything up that was already up there? Was it total blue sky, or was it just like a kind of a snowball effect?
Oh, no. Actually, if you really have to put it to an origin, it was definitely Starfire's idea. she was, you know, we were on MySpace, and we still are, but, you know, MySpace was getting so out of control with the advertising, the spam, you know, the aggravation, and people trying to literally incite cyber riots up there. So we were really getting tired of it because we were getting hit with a lot of it as well. And, mm-hmm. you know, finally she did. She told me one day, she goes, you know what, I'm really sick and tired of all this. And she says, you know, I'd like to have a place where people aren't getting bashed or they're not getting, you know, ridiculed and fingers pointed at and everything else. She goes, I want something nice, safe, stable. You don't have to worry about the predators. You don't have to worry about, you know, living up to this or that. And that's really how it all began. And I said, sounds good to me. Let's do it.
Wow.
And then, so okay, just to give you, like, an example of how not to do it, about a year ago, our company was trying the same thing with Soma Space,
mm-hmm.
which is our land-based operation here in Larchmont, for lack of a better word. And we sat there with, you know, the best minds we could buy and said, you know, how forth will we do this, you know, Von Expert? And, you know, just talking to the techies alone, the social network software and all the other garbage, it was like, you know, over $25,000 to, like, get, like, a prototype together. And it was like, you know, it's like 2 years to be up and running. We were like, what? There's all this other stuff. We hopped on the Blog Talk for free, and we've been yapping since May, you know,
right.
for nothing.
Yeah.
So we had no concept of how to get from the kitchen table to where you guys are. But the other part of it, like I said, between the animosity within the community, like all these marketing geniuses do the same thing. Well, we actually paid one of them to basically read us his book.
Oh, and, that was fun.
Michael Port. And anyway, long story short, they ask the same stinking questions whether you buy the book for $25 or whether you hire them for $1,500. What is your ideal market? What is your target customer? Look, come on, dude. We know book people that act like us. We don't personally have to have a relationship with them. We just want professionally to create a platform for them. And it's almost like if you're going to start a college or something like that, you're not going to like every student that goes there, but they're all going to get the same diploma. So it's like we wanted to create that sort of interaction and that buzzword community. Now, we tried it the year before with the woo on the ground, and forget it. It was Hatfields and the McCoys because what the Moos have done, and what they do systematically anyway, is they find the fringe right where the soccer moms and the MILFs are hanging out, sniffing around for something good to do on the weekend. You know, right east of yoga. Ooh, there's Kundalini. Ooh, this is good. You know, they keep going. And they just keep picking a couple of grapes, and pretty soon they're singing. Get the tambourines out, then they're up there, then pretty soon there's a chanting weekend. So they keep going along. And we found, like, corporate wellness, which is another oxymoron, started to show up. So now they get the big old bucket of beer, and they call all the slugs to the beer to come and, you know, now you're going to do your breathing class. Everyone's breathing.
Yep.
And then they create this basically just like a almost like a dump switch for the suits to use the woo modalities as some type of exotic thing to basically outsource all the healthcare to the employees. So
exactly.
The local practitioners get their day in the sun, and now we'll bring in the caged lion face boy to teach you this, you know. And, you know, and it's like they get to go on site to the little corporation, so they feel a little self-important. Maybe they put on shoes that day and tuck in their tails, and they walk in and teach. And for their trouble, they get what they call leads, which is basically a bunch of dead emails that no one's ever going to return. And the suits get to say, hey, we outsourced all the ergonomic stuff, and basically we can cut the cost on all our major medical stuff, and nobody can miss work because now we have a stress reduction plan. Everyone's breathing at 12:30. So we saw the dirty, ugly side of this because most of the people that are in the pagan community or in the woo community or any of these sort of alternative communities are under the rocks. They're not walking around in the mainstream promoting this stuff, and if they are, they tend to be kind of phony and diluted and not as authentic as someone who does this living and breathing every day. So long, rambling question is, how do you get this community to function? I mean, I know you gave them the technical platform, but then on a sort of a going-forward kind of level, okay, you gave them a place to click through and interact, but how do you get it to function? How do you get it to develop from here?
Well, that's, you see, you know exactly what you're talking about. The way to progress from that point is really to be well-knowledged in the areas that you're interested in. I mean, knowledge, to coin a phrase again, knowledge is definitely power in this situation. If I've ever seen one, that's what it comes down to. If you really don't know what you're talking about, you don't know the history, the practices, no matter how alternative or even crazy they may sound to other people, if you don't know anything about the background, you don't really know what you're talking about, you're going to sound like a crackpot. I mean, there's no question about it. And I personally, because we've all gone through this stuff, you know, you're always a little bit nervous. You know, it's like going to the swimming pool and, you know, taking off the robe and jumping in your bathing suit. You know, the first time you're always nervous. Once everything calms down, bang, no problem. But I've been in the situation myself, and I found through experience that when I say something in small amounts to people, of course, you know, their interest peaks and curiosity peaks, and they start questioning you a little more. And then eventually, yes, you do have to let out that quote-unquote crazy lifestyle of yours. But I found when I explain to people why I believe what I believe, why I hold it to be important, the history behind it, all of a sudden it doesn't sound so weird, strange, and destructive anymore. Now people actually start asking questions, and they're like, really, that's interesting. So I guess, as bad as it sounds, you know, there's a stigma towards all of this in the first place, that everybody's running around with this big knife, black robe, and, you know, mowing over kitty cats. And that's not the case whatsoever. Unfortunately, there are people out there that do that, but that's not the case in general. And when people lose and they shed that kind of fear about it, and now they start looking at it as if they were watching History Channel or Discovery Channel or Nova, then things start to change a little. And now all of a sudden you are accepted. It's not a big deal anymore.
It's hard to understand. I follow you, but it's hard to understand why that is even an issue when this is a country that embraces such things as coffee science.
Because deep down inside, everybody knows it's a bunch of BS when you start getting on that.
It is a huge industry, and the funny part about it is that you know, in my travels, I've gotten into the conventional scientific community that does the cutting-edge kind of stuff. I got into chaos theory about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I met a lot of these guys that are in these, you know, big-time universities, and they have, you know, minions running around crunching data, like little Oompa Loompas. And you get them behind the scenes, you know, and again, it's just like the soccer moms, and you give them a couple of beers, and they go, when I was channeling this theory on a full moon and eating some lamb's blood, what?
Oh,
wait a minute, he's just like me. And then you try, like, the next day you're doing your lecture, and you're going, okay, Fred, as I was saying, we were dealing with Gaia, you know. then it's like, you know, it's like a Judas thing. You're right under the bus. I know of no Gaia. And it's kind of a tough deal because, like, a couple of years ago, I was out in Denver, Colorado, the home of the SOMA, and we were having big convention, the annual convention, which is international, at Denver University. At the same time, right down the road, What the Bleep was having its screenings all over the place.
Okay.
So you had, and Colorado's unique because it is the home of Christian radio. So you had huge amounts of, I mean, everywhere I went on Highway 25, there was like one sign would say, repent. Down, and then one said, you know, out with the pagans. There was another sign that said that, and they drew the little Wiccan symbol, which I thought was a little weird. But the chaos guys, you know, by and large, they're secular, and they were interested in the quantum physics stuff, but they couldn't handle the consciousness stuff. They couldn't handle the subjectivity of it. They couldn't handle the, you know, lucid dreaming stuff and all the other weirds. They couldn't handle the part that affected them personally. So I gave my lecture was, I said, medicine out, science in. Because if you put science out there, anything in this culture now, all of a sudden it gets credibility. I mean, there's a sock company out there that promotes themselves and their little thing because they have the technology called comfort science. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it used to be everything was medicine. If you put medicine after something, it had credibility. Energy medicine has credibility. Mm-hmm. Now you could say psychology after anything. And now it's energy psychology. Same thing with energy medicine. Now it's energy psychology. So within the pagan world, this stuff is all amusing to us because we're like, they're just playing war games. But the thing is, the mentality of the people is they're very much looking for the, you know, the silver bullet and get out of here. And they want that way out, that sort of elixir, if you want to get a little mythical about it. You know, let's all transform together like Wonderama. But they don't want to do any of the work. They want it to all be instantaneous and showy. What I've won, you know. You've won another 3 centuries of karma. Let's go to the toad board.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I mean, it's sad because every, you know, from what I see, every belief system kind of has the same level of that. You know, you have that in the pagan community, and, you know, it's very similar to Christian belief of, you know, pretty much, hey, do what you want. You know, you come in and throw a couple confessions down, you give every Sunday, and then pray a lot when you're old, you'll go to heaven, don't worry. You know, everybody wants it for free, and nobody wants to work for it. That's the reason all these belief systems in organized religions are falling apart at the seams.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, a lot of times, like, I'll flip on, like, someone like Bill Maher, who absolutely mocks these religions openly, you know, in a hilarious way. Like, he goes to the mall and asks them these. They've never done any introspection. It's almost as if they think they'll somehow wake up from this deluded dream they were told when they were five. And it's almost as if it's kind of cruel in a way, because they take away the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, and Santa Claus, but they don't take away the guy in the clouds thing. You know, they never kill off that myth. So it's almost like they're grown people. Some of them are not even that old. Some of them are in their 20s and 30s, and they're not even questioning it. That's what it's almost become to the point now where you can't even question the bullshit they fed you.
Exactly.
And because then you're not even that. Well, if you're not patriotic, well, we know you could be not patriotic. And I just think, if you really want to see how unpatriotic I am, I'll drive on the left side of the freaking road, right at the other cars. And there's that's it. That'd be my demonstration. But the other stuff, you're supposed to have not just freedom of speech, but freedom to speak. They don't give you freedom to speak because they don't give you an opportunity because they're telling you, they're almost squelching it in the early stages because you're not allowed to critically examine anything.
Exactly, exactly. And you find it in all areas and realms. I mean, you find it from government to science to health issues or religion, spiritual beliefs, whatever. I mean, even down to friends and social networks and everything else. It's all the same thing.
Plus,
you're
frisbee.
If you
follow
the norm, you know, you're blackballed.
A couple of years before, I guess it was a year before the whole bleep thing, we were at another one of these little get-togethers in Milwaukee at a Christian university known as Marquette. And right across the other side of the campus, there was about maybe 300 or 400 people gathering to study something pagan-esque called Brain Gym, right? Brain Gym. People walking around coordinated. We're over there in the basement of the library, you know, cracking atoms down there. And, you know, the discussion I was giving that day was reflections on intelligent design. Now, they got their tomatoes, and they came back after lunch to kill me. And I basically said, you guys can't have it both ways. I put up a series of quotes on my slideshow there that basically was taken from their stinking conventional science lectures about intelligent systems and about how they process information and complexity and stuff. And it was just about the flow of information and irreducible complexity, a lot of their terms. And I said, you're the same jerks that when one of these guys gets in trouble on a school board, you throw them under the bus with two hands, and you back over them after you run them over. I said, so you don't even back up your own stupid theories. That's why we're in the library, and the Brain Gym people are in the good room across the other side of the campus getting the food catered in.
Exactly.
They got three times. We got 60 idiots down here. They've got 250 over there. They're dancing, and they got DJs. They got, you know. So I don't understand the inauthenticity of the sort of cutting-edge conventional moo scientist guy, and then the completely subcultural, completely relegated to the backwoods Wu, who actually has authentic, deep, you know, kind of, they've carried this information in them for a long time. I read the Aquarian Conspiracy. Good for you. Like, how do you get past this sort of, there's two walls. One is ignorance, and I think that's pretty much the big wall. Mm-hmm. And right behind that wall, there's a big moat of arrogance behind it, because if you make it over the ignorance, the arrogance comes to get you. And then the other part is the apathy, the people that don't want to do anything on either side. They just want to flow down the stream like little flotsam and jetsam they are, and then they wonder why all these things fall apart on them.
Well, exactly.
How do you fish them? I used to do it. I got in this thing in chiropractic, which is a sad truth, but that's how I got on the bus. It was the one that stopped. So I got on. And for the most part, the first time I got, you know, into one of these rooms with these little rah-rah guys, they said that, you know, they gave you the story, you probably heard it, about the guy that keeps fishing the people out of the river that are drowning. and he keeps fishing them out, and he never stops to think to look upstream to see who's thrown them the fuck in.
Exactly. Well, you have a very valid point there. You know, it does get frustrating at times. I mean, you know, the Starfire and I are you know, we're on the same side, and we see things the same way, but in different kinds of lights of different things. You know, as you know, she is totally devoted into witchcraft, and for her to see the New Age Wiccan people that come in saying a bunch of things that they don't even understand, they're not even getting right in the first place, you know, it really frustrates her. And then put that on top of the people who dress for Halloween 364 days a year that go to all the coffee shops and malls. Well, who do you think the news is going to put on at 7 o'clock?
Yeah, that too puts us in such a bad light.
You know, they love to do it because, you know, everybody's got to have somebody to ridicule, and pagans just happen to be the easiest target, unfortunately, and they make their own bed, though.
Yep.
I mean, you know, if you really want to, it's almost like the people that are totally immersed into Star Trek. Now, I was saying, Art, is where I'm going with this one. Now, just so we get this out clear, I have always been a big Star Trek fan myself, too. I don't own any of their uniforms. My house is not decorated with all the different Enterprises. I don't have wall paintings, murals, or anything else for that fact. And it doesn't say NC-1701 on my car. So nothing of the sort. But now I can enjoy all of that without going overboard and making myself look ridiculous. And if I was going to, I sure as hell would not do it out in public. I would keep it confined in the house.
Yeah.
But that's what these people don't seem to understand. You know, the way to be taken seriously and to be listened to is not to stick out like a sore thumb like that. You know, again, I go back to the fact that you have to be knowledgeable in what you're talking about. And that's where my end comes in, because I'm involved in all belief systems. I'm actually not a witch. I'm a mystic is what I probably...
Well, make the wordy-gurdy distinction there, because I just got a couple... Like, what would you... The working definition of witchcraft is what for you? The practice of what?
It's probably the closest to the actual practice of paganism. You know, a lot of times those two words get put in synonymously, and they really aren't.
So what's paganism, then?
Paganism is basically a lifestyle. I mean, it's almost like somebody who is a health nut versus somebody who... maybe he goes out and eats at all the fast food restaurants all the time. It's the way that you live your life in the process of becoming one with everything around you. You know, being a part of nature and working within the grand scheme of things. Not as far as, you know, hippies, tree huggers, getting overboard on that end, but basically, I guess the best way for me to put it is, you know, if you see trash on the ground, pick it up. You know, don't litter and stuff. Don't go around, you know, destroying nature and everything around you. You work with it. You know, use it to empower yourself, to feel better. There's, after all the medical science came from nature anyway and still does. They can make as much as they want in the labs, but it still is all natural products in the beginning that it starts with. So
then the buy-in about the buy, we'll just retrace our steps here. If paganism is sort of a, we'll just call it a consciousness of nature, kind of an orientation. So someone that's in a green company or someone that's interested in recycling and is you know, by and large, you know, God-fearing Catholic, and they're in the NRA, but they pick up their litter, at that point would they say, okay, well, maybe I got a little pagan in me here. You know, is it kind of an all or none kind of a thing? Because we're right back at the Star Trek festival looking for the next UFO abduction, and we're all going to where you know to Area 51 tomorrow. So, you know, and it's definitely easy to and soundbite wise, it's easy to communicate the extremes in any of these things. The fundamental religion guy, the fundamental you know survivalist guy with his militia in the woods. You got him in Michigan in droves.
Oh, yes.
You know, they're all out there ready to, you know, gut a deer and we're going to live off the land. You know, it's like they're ready. So we've got sort of like these cartoon examples that the culture can just kind of iconicize and kind of put you in a box. And, the pagan people are going to be, you know, they're going to be with, you know, Linus in the pumpkin patch. They're going to be out there waiting for the great pumpkin. That's the perception. And having, you know, Professor Val here to sort of rein me in sometimes on these pagan things. You know,
yeah,
like
exactly.
a couple weeks ago, we did one on Halloween, and then coming up in February, we got the big Groundhog Day, right, which is a big pagan celebration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not going to be on the school calendar. It's going to say Groundhog Day, and they're all going to wake up and watch the stupid Punxsutawney Phil come out and do his deal without explaining a thing. It's just another ceremony. It's like Arbor Day. It's almost like,
yeah.
It's almost like, in a way, you realize this, Charles M. Schulz probably was pagan.
Yeah, he had them all.
He's got a special for all the pagan holidays, if you think about it.
Yay!
Well, and again, you know, I mean, anything can be stretched as far as you really want to stretch it, but, you know, somebody at home who makes their own salad dressings and maybe makes their own beer doesn't make them a chemist. Technically,
right.
I guess, yeah, it does, but actuality, no, not really. Of course, there's always a depth and a multifaceted amount to anything. And the paganism is the same way. I mean, basically what I said as far as the nature and all that, you know, that's a broad, general frame of mind for a pagan. That's going to be something that's extremely important. Does that make them a naturalist or anything like that? It could or it couldn't. But they're very conscientious about their surroundings, nature, the world, and things of that sort. What really takes it beyond in the actual terminology is what you seek out, what you believe in. That's where it starts breaking up into the different, the Wiccans, the witches, people like myself, mystics or hermetics or shaman. You know, then it becomes getting a little bit more specific as you go through the road, depending on what pantheon you might believe in or depending on how you think or believe or feel everything is tied together or where it came from. That's where it starts to get more specific.
Mm-hmm. What about those weird guys with the... it's that rose thing. I forget the name of it. Oh, there's another one of those ones. It's way out there. It's from the old country. And they believe in things like sangreal and things like that. You know, I'm telling you, from my own experience on the outside looking in, the average person that's investigating these belief systems, as you call them, they're going to come in contact with the fruit on the tree. They're going to come in contact with Wiccan as opposed to mystic, and they're going to represent all of paganism with that one filter. Just like if someone goes to a chiropractor that does a certain modality, like I go to a network chiropractor. Well, who cares? It's like, you know, it becomes sort of like a ball of yarn to try to untie, because everyone's matching that up with their primary belief systems that was installed before they knew this stuff. So whether it's the UFOs or the channelers or the pagan people or the crystal people or whatever, it's like, I try to explain this sometimes directly to a person in front of me working with me. It's like, look, you might have beliefs that are paganistic, but it's not a pagan's belief. Like, and you can't represent all the pagans, because that's the whole point. You're
exactly.
supposed to be able to row your own boat here.
Mm-hmm.
That's like trying to define what is a Christian. I mean,
right,
you follow the Baptists, the Lutherans, the Catholics. Now, who really represents them all? They don't. They're just that name Christian just says, okay, there's this, you know, core set of rough beliefs that is about the only thing that ties them all together. After that, you get into specifics. And paganism is the same way.
Right,
yeah.
And then they're throwing knives at each other.
Well,
they're probably
throwing
Christian.
Some at me, because I'm sure there's some out there probably kicking the computer around at this point. That's a bunch of BS, you know.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that, though. If people really sat down and thought about it, it's, you know, there is a small amount that ties us all together, and then there's certain things that make us unique and extraordinary. And, you know, the concentration shouldn't be on, you know, fighting to make yours supreme over all the other ones. It should be in developing yours for your own personal growth. Because it's something I was taught, which we all were taught long ago, was that the only way to really make a difference in the world is to improve yourself, because we all know people don't lead just because you or follow just because you say. They lead or follow by an example that you actually set out for someone. You know, you can tell somebody till they're blue in the face, you know, do this, do this, do this, do this. If they don't see you doing that, they're not going to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's how I try to live my life. I give and present ideas, and sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not. I expect and anticipate and look to get into discussion so I can improve my own knowledge, my own self-worth. And by doing so, in practicing such and refining these methods, I hope to give other people inspiration and strength in the times that they really need it to be able to do the same for themselves. And coming full circle back, the perfect launch pad is where it comes down to paganspace.net, because it's a place where you may have a lot of people that are conflicting with each other on ideas and beliefs, but at the same rate, they're all there for the same reason, and I'd have to say 99.9% of them are fairly open-minded. So it really makes it a fertile ground to try to make a difference, whereas, you know, you're not going to walk into a local church and start spouting off things about, you know, Mother Earth this and God's this, and, you know, you'd be run out with pitchforks and torches.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
just like old times when they burned everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And somehow people are still somewhat afraid that that's going to happen. Talk about a powerful psychological effect.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's, like I said, there's a lot of sort of under the canopy of philosophy, you can say a lot of things. Like if you were going to give a pagan point of view on vaccination,
mm-hmm.
right? Because mm-hmm. if you're a pagan in 2008 and you have kids, eventually they'll go to school, unless, you know, you're going to homeschool them because you just can't stand the sight of them going to school. and now, I think it was in Michigan, and those around in on the East Coast, they're mandatory vaccines. They're mandating this stuff. So
mm-hmm.
so when some states have the philosophical exemption, some states have the religious exemption. If
mm-hmm.
you're going to pull the pagan card, are you going to pull it on a religious basis and say this is freedom of religion, or are you going to pull it on a philosophical basis and say this is my beliefs, this is what I practice in my house?
Wow, that is kind of a tough question. I mean, I guess most people would be inclined to pull it on a religious aspect because
mm-hmm.
that's obviously the most guaranteed. And
mm-hmm.
when it comes down to something that's very important to you or you feel could do damage to your family, your kids, or what have you, chances are pretty good, human nature, you're just going to go for the one that's best guaranteed that you're going to get the kind of outcome you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it's really correct, I mean, I guess there's enough ammunition on both sides, and I don't really see where it should be split, because there has to be an amount of philosophy involved with spiritual beliefs or even religions or whatever. Because, again, this comes down to actually putting the effort into understanding what you're supposedly basing your life around. You know, you can't go into it, no questions asked, and, you know, follow along like, you know, the other 20 yellow ducks behind them. You
mm-hmm.
just, I don't feel that you can do that because, you know, you don't come out of it with anything. Most people in any kind of religions, and I've seen it from paganism all the way up through organized religions, you ask them anything, even the most basic things of their own historical past, and they sit there and look at you, you know, like you got three heads.
Yep.
And that's sad because, I've never been somebody who's gone out and, you know, gone totally against organized religion or other pagan belief systems or whatever the case may be. There are aspects and things that have happened that I don't like, I don't agree with, and I freely will say that. But I don't go after them in collective because, as far as I'm concerned, I'd rather see somebody believe in something than believe in nothing. Because to watch somebody spend their life believing in nothing, it doesn't really appear to be a very good life.
Well, but as we've seen with the Kucinich campaign, that doesn't get you elected. That doesn't make the masses move. Again, you could stand up for yourself, like you're saying. But you know, like I just looked it up. And Robert Fulford, big time famous craniopath, like probably one of the most famous guys in osteopathy outside of Andrew Still. Right? Maybe you heard of him, or you didn't. But in my circles, he's a god. And when they uncovered that he was a Rosicrucian.
Rosicrucian, yes.
Rosicrucian.
Yes.
Basically, he was deemed a witch, and you know, and everything that he said was now, because, you know, he mentioned like this stuff was it was all secret and stuff like that. It was esoteric, and oh, there's a Nazi strain to this stuff, and no one can practice it now. You know, it's like all illegal. Yeah. Meanwhile, Andrew Weil, El Crapola. Whose buddy was on the show last week? We gave him a little hard time about it. Embraces all this alternative stuff. Calls it the most, I hate this word, complimentary as if the other stuff is already valid. Now we found something to compliment it. We're already valid. Look, we found. That's a nice shirt. I'll just take all your information. Thank you very much. And all this other stuff that they were beating us over the head with clubs for is now looked at as, no, that was just our way of saying hello.
No, I think it's more like just being assertive about their presence in case.
All right, we have a cross, and you have whatever you have over there, Pagan. Now give us the data. And so it becomes a little bit like more than arm-twisting to say, I'm going to stand up personally for my beliefs, but collectively as a community, nobody stands with us.
No,
where the Christians will march on an abortion center, they'll march on anything. They live to march.
Yeah, pagans don't stick together either at all.
A bunch of egos that go, dude, you're on your own. We're having a party tomorrow. You're invited. You know, so it's like, from my perspective is, once you choose this path, you really don't choose the moo world. You don't choose the collective way of communicating. You're almost reduced to conversation to conversation to conversation within every relationship, and that's why paganspace.net, is it .net? I think it's .net, right?
Well, yeah, and
it's baconspace.net, right?
Yep.
You know, is an opportunity to get that dialogue up to another level where now you can say, you know what? You can sit there all day long and go through all the shades of gray between all these different angles on it, but the ultimate thing is that this is a platform, this is a social network where people are allowed to examine their beliefs. I don't care what they are, but you're allowed to examine them here. And there's a lot to be said for examining Judeo-Christian principles, too. I mean, that's why when Madonna, all of a sudden started going to her, Jewish mysticism meetings.
Yes.
It became really cool, and did the same thing for Zen, and Richard Gere with all his stuff, with the Buddhist stuff, and the Beastie Boys with their Buddhist stuff, and everybody getting their freak on to try and find another myth, another way to reflect, another way in, and you know.
Exactly. And that whole movement started with the Beatles and the Maharaja. And,
that's right. The Maharishi Yogi,
I'm sorry.
And ultimately, that's why I think that's the service you're giving people. It's like it's an opportunity to examine your beliefs and hold them up to the light and see what's dancing behind them. Because a lot of times, there's just a guy collecting a heck of a lot of money in the back of the room.
Exactly. Exactly.
Uh-huh. And that's all right, so winding down here, as you did a great job pitch hitting for Starfire here.
Thank you.
What would you say in a paragraph or less is, and this is a two-part riddle question because I have to do that because you are Pagan. So there will be an innuendo somewhere here. Is the biggest misconception that is also one of the biggest selling points of your website and paganism as a whole?
Oh,
little bait and switch,
yeah, it is.
It's sort of like not a mistruth, not something that's a total lie, but something that sort of brings them into the tent, but then you got to twist it a little bit, twist their rigoletto a little bit to kind of like reset their dial because salvation already worked for the rest of them. So
exactly.
So what are you holding outside? What on the lure to get somebody in the tent, so to speak, so you're not working the air. I don't see pagans in the airports, you know.
We don't do those things.
No, you travel in different ways. So how do you get that done? How do you get the message out that's representing all these diverse different ways of looking at things and at the same time remain, sort of true to your word here?
Well, I guess, and it's not something that I guess we don't come out and state and blatantly advertise as, but I guess the whole concept and the whole thought of it really comes down to giving people the real freedoms that they think they have, but they realize in their day-to-day life they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, and I hear this a lot, that everybody talks about freedom of this and freedom of that, whether it be religion, speech, or anything else. How free are you really to talk and believe about anything? You're not. You have freedom so long as you stick within choice A, B, or C. That's where the problem comes down. And a lot of people don't like to admit it because, it really does. Like you said before, it pushes you into a corner, and then you got a guy in the back just, collecting the money. But what we give people is the opportunity to have that freedom that is talked about so much and that everybody thinks they have, but really wakes up one day and realizes they don't have it as much as they think they do. And
yeah,
we're
okay.
Basically really taking that head on and saying, here you do, and we are not going to tell you you're wrong, you're evil, you're this, you're that. You know, you talk about it, you explore it, you agree, you disagree, you make friends. Yeah, sometimes you make a few enemies along the way because people can't get along, but in the end, you're still all in the same boat, and you still have, as far as I'm concerned, taken a much larger step than most other people ever do in their entire life.
Wow. All right. So if you put all that, if you put all that under the banner, yeah, I mean, if you put all that on the banner on your website, you're going to have, you know, everybody from, what's his name down there, Hans Christian Andersen there. What's that guy's name, that Catholic nutball? The big right-wing guy.
The Catholic?
Yeah. What's his name?
I don't remember.
Come on. What's his name? Anderson? Anderson Cooper.
I don't remember.
You don't talk. Pat Robertson. Him.
You can run from
Pat Robertson to those Ku Klux Klan guys in the Republican Party at your front door, going, hey, he actually has a point, Fauntleroy.
Well, you definitely got to leave the bashing and the aggressiveness at the doors off, because
yeah.
We do still have the neat pagan function called banning members in case it gets out of control.
That's right.
Yeah, well, like I said, I wish you luck with this, because you are literally herding cats. Up there in the clouds,
yep.
To try to get them to stay still long enough to actually have a decent conversation. And the fact that you're asking them to take a deeper look at things and even get academic with it, in a sense, look at it as more of a historical thing as well as something they could use in their life, it's a commendable way to go. So we're still on the air?
Yep, and we have 3 minutes, and Dr. Jeb has joined us.
Something was clicking around.
Well, thank you very much. I definitely appreciate your time, and
yeah.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, heroes. We'll talk to you soon.
Say hi to Starfire for us, and you know, tell her to just move the ice to the right side of the eyes, and it'll all get better in the morning.
Not a problem.
Thanks.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Have a good
go away.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a good interview.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Dr. Jeb joining us here, parachuting in for his tip of the week. So without further ado, I will slip in the somascopes after that. But hit it. Where's his thing?
I can just
hear it. He's right there.
I feel good. I see. I don't feel good. If I don't have, I feel good. But that's okay. So
clap on, clap off.
Stop
clapper.
Oh, jeez. You know, the sounds are too loud tonight. What the hell's going on over there?
So the tip of the week is very simple. We're coming into an eco week, mm-hmm. correct? So
we're an eco week, yes.
We're an eco week. So, we've been talking about some nutrition last few weeks. And this week is kind of, let it go. But the one thing we're going to do is keep our meals to an hour at a time. So you start from start to finish. You try to eat everything within an hour. And keeps that one insulin surge there so you're not getting multiple spikes of the old insulin. And you'll feel better. You'll feel more satisfied. And it's pretty simple. And you get to eat just about whatever you want. So,
This is like eat like six times a day kind of. I like that. Ooh, yes.
It's just, you just eat it. You eat within an hour. If you keep within an hour, you get one insulin spike. So if you're restricting carbs or you're just watching sugars, you just don't have, a couple cocktails and some hors d'oeuvres. If you spread your meal out in 3 or 4 hours or you're grazing constantly, then you're going to get all these insulin spikes and you're going to be laying down more fat. But if you just do the eat within the hour, basically if you had one meal a day where you're sort of letting yourself go and, eating good food, but you're including some carbohydrates, this is kind of from a carbohydrate addict standpoint. You almost want to keep it within an hour, and you'll be in good shape.
Okay. Well, that is an interesting little way to take us that week, but for an eco week when gluttony is going to be rampant, but we'll take it in advisement.
Clap on, clap off,
stop
the clapper.
God, that is so freaking loud.
Well, I just voted the 70%, too.
Yeah, well, I think there's something going on at Blog Talk for a change.
Really? Oh, we would never know about that.
No.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have about a minute here, so why don't you give your tip of the week, and I will close with my appropriate comment.
The quote of the week is Susan B. Anthony. I distrust those who know so well what God wants because I notice it always coincides with their own desires.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way to go there.
Yeah, one of my favorites. All right, I got to hear the Somascopes. What's going on?
All right, well, this is Song Boots up here.
Gonna be loud. Back away from the computer, people.
No, it won't be that loud.
Ugh, they're all loud tonight.
Just gotta let it play for a minute. But, you know, is it going on or what? You hear it?
I heard something.
You heard something?
I don't hear it now. See, that's loud.
Yeah. Basically, the rest of the week is going to really be one of those times where you just say, how much further do I want this to carry on? Whether it's a relationship, a project, the pile of bills on your desk. How much more can I take? Is going to be the theme for this week. So if you're at Exo, good luck. I don't even know if I'm still on the air, but travel
on
with
it. They'll hear it.
Yeah, they'll hear it later. There is no easy way to be free, as they say. So my advice to you this week, as I now we're completely off the air, is when you're faced with one of these issues of something becoming heavy, drop it, because the truth is light. And as the Ecos will say, what gets heavy gets dropped and then gets picked up again. And then you carry it a little further and drop it again. So don't get dissuaded when you drop something. Just to realize that it's no longer true for you now, but you're just as more authentic to drop something as heavy than to carry that load one step further, literally. So, for all of us here, we're now off the air. I'm going to leave you with this, and we'll see you next week for an exciting conversation about how we influence sporting events with our brains.
Beautiful.
47 yards to kick the Giants to the Super Bowl. Snap is good. Kick on its way. End over end. Does it have the distance? It is
good!
Good! Lawrence Tynes has kicked the Giants to the Super Bowl after missing at the end of regulation, and Tynes runs into the tunnel to outright, and the New York Giants are going to Super Bowl 42 in overtime. They beat the Packers 23-20.
Travel light, Tom Brady.
Bye-bye.